When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Straightforward. He has no experience of English football. He's come from Japan.
He's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
So I'm not one of the bottle. I think I'm a special one.
I have to talk about facts, because I think it's important.
Hello, and welcome to the Phoenix Five Show. This week, we are joined by my co-host, Paul McGrath, and I am actually hosting it this week, which is new to the... I've done it once before, but we're going to have another crack at it, seeing as it's just me and Paul. So, it's myself, David Holland, as the host, and Paul McGrath, ever-present co-host. How you doing, buddy?
Yep, good. It's Sunday now, recording. I'm not too good. The charity shield kicks off today, obviously.
Seeing as you've mentioned it, before we go on to this week's subject, we'll talk about news this week, and where best to start than what you just mentioned, the charity shield, I'm going to call it, because we're 90s. I'm not having the Community Shield, the Charity Shield. Did you watch the game, mate?
I watched most of it. I had the kids and trying to do Sunday lunch and stuff. But I thought Arsenal were quite impressive in large spouts of it, mate. I think they looked good. I thought Rice looked decent and fitting. I thought Havertz missed a chance earlier on. We were a bit of a bad pass towards him. But I thought you'd done all right, yeah.
Yeah, and no, I don't think you can take too much from that game for City, because they'll improve. It's a friendly at the end of the day. I see City fans, kids. I mean, I know kids are kids, but I see kids crying because they lost just then. And I just think, you just come off a treble win. You just won the Champions League and you're crying over the Community Shield. Now, I understand it's kids and, you know, I'm not going to start slating kids on our podcast, but you can see how sport they are now, because, you know, they've just done the treble, a history treble, historic, should I say, and then crying over not winning the Charity Shield.
Yeah. But
no, there was good spells there. I have to say there was good spells. I'm on the fence with Havertz. I didn't play well. He did not play well. I know we mentioned him last week and we've got to give him time, but I didn't think he was great.
I thought he did all right. I missed most of the second half. I watched bits and bobs. From what I saw, I thought he moved around quite a bit. And obviously, it's getting used to a new team. I don't think he's bad. But you watched the whole game, so obviously what you're saying must be more accurate than what I've witnessed in the short spell that I watched.
And also, I know more about football. but yeah, listen, it's the curtain raiser for the season. You know, it's always good to win that, because everyone says, it's only a friendly when they lose, but they're happy to win it. And, it kicks off your season. The only thing is that the commentator's curse, I heard there, that since 2011, the team that have won the Charity Shield haven't gone on to win the league. So that bodes well for Arsenal.
Yeah. It was quite empty as well. I thought it was quite disappointing.
81,000, they said it was. Which,
oh, really?
You know, yeah.
Didn't look at 6,000, did it, to be fair?
No, it didn't, no. But, listen, Arsenal won on penalties. There were good penalties they took there. De Bruyne, see, De Bruyne came on. Like, De Bruyne has not had any pre-season games at all. He's not played any minutes because he got injured in the Champions League final. But you see, he just world-class. Because when he come on, City were different. City were better. And, you know, Arsenal, you know, still think that, you know, they're behind City. No one's up there with City. But City can be in the game, the whole game, more or less, you know, nicking it, probably ahead of Arsenal, and then bring on Foden and De Bruyne.
Yeah,
you know, I know it's not just Arsenal. That's against anyone in the world that they can do that. And he did change the game. Even like you say, he's not had no minutes, but it was good. It's good the football's back. I'm always glad to beat anyone, so I'll take the win. I know it's a friendly, but listen, it bodes well for the rest of the season. So you've had some good news this week. You finally got a striker. We spoke about this guy, didn't we, last week?
Yeah.
He's now signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm presuming that the J in his name is a silent J. So have we got Hoyland and Haaland now, have we?
Yeah, Haaland and Hoyland, yeah.
Hoyland, is that what we call it, yeah? Because I looked at that and I thought, that J's got to be silent.
Yeah, I think so. Unless the commentators change it or he puts a different name completely at the back of his shirt. You know what modern football's like now. It might have Bob at the back of it for all I know, for fuck's sake. Have we overpaid is going to be the question. Yeah, potentially, maybe. What's overpaying now? If you're paying for potential, could he go on and score 30 goals a season? Debatable. Depends what team Haag picks out. But we needed someone. He's the first young striker we've signed since we signed Martial, which is, I think, nearly 10 years ago now.
Didn't go great.
Yeah, about 10 years ago. No, again, he had loads of potential. Didn't really work out. Injuries kind of hampered him. And having a change of manager constantly didn't help him. His attitude was a little bit different to what most players would say. But, you know, I think I'm going to call this now, and it's obviously early to go, and we'll do a few more of these before the end of the season. I still think we go in for Kane and we get Kane within the last week of the window.
Well, I'm for those of you who don't know, I run the Twitter now for the Phoenix Five, and I'm regardless of what year we're in or what decade we're in, I'm 100% putting that on the Twitter tonight.
Yeah, I think.
Do you think Kane's going to tip up at Man United before the transfer deadline? Wow, that's a massive claim.
I would say I'm 70% from speaking to people that I know in the game. The rumours are, like, Bayern Munich have put a bid in, all right? And Spurs haven't accepted or rejected it, okay? Whether they accept or reject it doesn't make any difference. Kane wants to stay in the Premier League and Kane wants to go to United. That's a fact, right? That is a fact. He must have been told by someone to hold out. And the plan is United need to sell to fund him. We have to sell two or three more players and raise £70 million to put in a £75 million bid for him, which would be under what Levy wants. Levy's been told by Joe Lewis he has to sell him. Fact. Man United are not going to go in now and start bidding and in a bidding war between Bayern Munich, whoever else comes in for him. Okay, they're not going to do that. They've been very smart this window. They'll wait till the last week of the league, of the transfer window. They'll hang out an offer and they'll say to Kane, if you want it, you push it through. Very much like Van Persie with Arsenal. When we put in a bid in for him, and it was like it was too late for them to kind of haggle over price. It was, this is the price, take it or leave it. And Van Persie pushed the move through. Kane will need to do the same thing. And I think Mbappe will. The only thing I can see, if Mbappe does move, which I think he will also go, I think I'm 70% sure he will go. I think he goes on a loan deal to Real Madrid for a season before he signs his full time contract. I think that's what they'll do. So that's my two predictions. I think Kane goes into United in the last week. And the last 4 years, United have done last-minute signings or within a week of the last transfer window, and they've been big-name signings. Last season was Casemiro. The season before was Ronaldo. The season before, I think, was it Bruno? No, who came in January? Someone else the season before was quite late. Varane came in quite late in the window. So that's what I see happening with United. And this Hoyland's injured for the beginning of the season already, so that doesn't bode well for coming in injured, does it? But, yeah. Who knows?
Well, that goes move swiftly on to my next piece of news then, because I've seen two players linked from United to this team, and that could fund maybe what you're just saying there. So I see lack of transfer move for West Ham. Are they relegation candidates if they don't bring someone in? Because they wasn't great last year. They've lost Declan Rice to Arsenal. If they don't have reinforcements, I think they're doomed.
Look, I think Moyes. I was with a West Ham fan today, and he wasn't saying Moyes up, but obviously he needs reinforcements. They brought in a new technical director. Him and Moyes, he seems to be clashing, it seems, because he's recommending players and Moyes said no. Moyes is old school, where he's from, you know what he's like. He's got a very good track record. Take United out of the picture because it was a shambles there from all around. But Everton, he had a good track record of bringing in the right players. I think West Ham last season, although they didn't win at the ground running, I think he brought in the right type of players. They will sign players. I don't have any doubt about that. Before the start of the season, probably not. They will sign players. And Maguire and McTominay have both been linked. And if we can get both of them out, I like McTominay. And I think he'd be a great player at West Ham, personally. I know not a lot of people like him, but I think he's been not underused. I think United's probably a level above him. I can see him going to West Ham doing a good job, and Maguire. If we can get rid of both of them for 60-odd million, I would bite your hand off tomorrow. And I think they would both be great additions for West Ham squad. And if they got them for 60, 65 million at the Declan Rice money, that still gives them 30, 40 million pounds. They can get one or two more players in that Declan Rice. And they sold Schumacher as well for 25 million. So they've raised about 150 million this window. So I think, yeah, fans need to be a bit more patient. I think everyone's in a rush to get, you know, the Premier League starts next week. The league doesn't really start until after the window closes. The first three games, I know that doesn't mean anything, but teams can recover from the first three games of the season quite quickly. So I don't think they'll go...
Yeah, no, as you know yourself, it's always better to get your business... I mean, Arsenal have already done it once when I can remember. They've done it this season. And yeah, it's been a thing for Arsenal. They always leave everything to the last minute. So it's better, you know, for a team like West Ham, you know, let's be honest, they're going to be mid-table at best. You know, they need to get their business done early, get them in, get them settled and do that. But yeah, well, we'll see in the coming weeks. I'm seeing as it's definitely going to be me and you doing this. I'm sure we'll touch on this subject again when they make a signing. But yeah, two of the guys are the Phoenix Five, who we nearly got all of them today, though. So we were very close. That was like a transfer deadline day sort of situation. We nearly got them all. But it ended up being me and you. I'm just going to, yeah, so two of the guys are QPR fans. I'm just going to shout out QPR. What's your thoughts here? I am worried for them. Seriously worried. And, you know, that was poor for what we saw yesterday.
I think they go down this season. I think they're relegation. I think they're done. I know it's one game. Don't get me wrong. Things can change around. Don't rate the manager. Don't rate anyone. They've the squad. I don't think morale's very high in there, especially losing the opening game like that. Can they turn it around? Of course they can. Things do happen. But for me, that club's lost direction. You know, since Tony Fanat, I mean, I'm not a QPR fan, so I might be wrong. Lee Art was not here. Miller's not here. I've been around QPR for a long time. And I would say since Tony Fernandez came in and all this hype about him coming and spending, and he did spend money at it, with Les Ferdinand moving on rightly in the summer, I think they're a bit of a club in lost direction. And I think they're going to struggle, which is strange to see when you obviously look at Luton and around them. Other smaller teams have come up. I know Luton's not a London club, but in terms of that kind of smallest club, Bournemouth going up and making a big go of it, Brighton. But are QPR a big club? It's debatable. I know a lot of our fans are QPR fans, but their stadium's still very, very small. Their fan base is very, I would say, small in comparison. So yeah, hopefully they stay up, but I relegation for me, mate. I think they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, all my family are QPR, my granddad, etc. And it is a shame. It really is a shame, but it just doesn't look good for them. Right, yeah. So swiftly moving on.
Let's just go to the Scottish League. Hold on, SPL. SPL.
No, I'm not moving on yet. I've got one more to go to. Seeing as you're doing a day of predictions, but yes, I will let you make your statement to my family and cousins in Europe. I'll let you say that. By the way, this is his view. I'm not in him with this one. But anyway, before you drop that bombshell, and with the Premier League starting next week, I thought it'd be good to jot down or predict, because seeing as you're doing predictions very well today, you're free to go down.
Ooh.
What are you thinking? Do you want me to go first? Because I've written them down.
Yeah, go on. You go first in this one.
So I've gone for Luton. I just can't see it. I just cannot see it. But saying that, it's happened before. It's happened. Blackpool came up. No one thought they would do it, and they stayed up, didn't they? So, you know, this is obviously just a prediction. So I've gone for Luton, Sheffield United, and I've gone for Nottingham Forest to go down next year.
Okay.
I've seen Burnley have come up, but I think they've done decent enough business, and I think that the manager they've got in there, he's doing it. Well, you won't know until we started, but he done okay in the Championship. So I think Burnley may survive. But yeah, my bottom three to go down: Luton, Sheffield United, and Notts Forest.
All right, I'm going Wolverhampton. I think this season they'll go down. They've been hanging around that area for a while now, and I think it's been one season too many. Luton's a hard one because I think going to that ground, again, very old school, very small, you know, first half of the season, I think they've got to get a good home record. I think they will. I'm going to go Bournemouth. I'm going to go Luton because I think you're absolutely right. So Bournemouth, Luton and Wolves. And we'll come back to this on the season. Yeah, I think Bournemouth, Luton and Wolves, mate. I think that's the three that go down this season.
Oh, that's good. Fair play. Listen, it's all opinion based and it could quite help but easily happen. It's happened before. So we'll review that again at the end of the season. So yeah, go on then. You want to put out a message about Scottish football? Again, I'm not part of this.
It's a record. Well done. Congratulations. The banner should be up for the Celtic fans now. They should be on the parade should be booked by Christmas. It's the league's over after one fucking game. It's done. Celtic have won the league. Give it to them now. Get the parade set up for maybe. Do you know what? It's still summer in some parts of the country. Maybe September. Get the bus booked in. Let them lift it up. Give them both cups. That and the cup. Give them the two trophies. Do it now. Get the season over with and get them back on the beach as quick as possible. So, ever competitive as always, that league. I'll leave that there.
My cousins will probably agree with you. Right, so moving on to this week's show, and it's all about that night in Istanbul, dubbed by many as the miracle. For those of you unsure what I'm referring to, it's May 25th, 2005, Istanbul, Turkey. It's the showpiece event of the season. It's the Champions League final. It's Liverpool versus AC Milan. But before we talk about that amazing night, let's touch on the road to the final from both sides. Mickey, have you gone back in the archives and had a little look at the route? I have, yep. For both teams. I'm not sure anyone sort of remembers the group stages, etc. But what do you know about it, mate?
When you look at the two group stages, I mean, Milan had a harder run in. Maybe it's hard to tell. I mean, the group was for Liverpool: Monaco, Olympiacos, Deportivo La Coruña.
Let me stop you there. They had to win against Olympiacos in the last game and by two clear goals to actually qualify. And not only that, they qualified for the Champions League. They had to qualify because they finished fourth the season before. So they'd already played a game and they only won that one 2-1.
Yes.
Against Graz AK. I presume they're a Swiss side, I would say.
Yeah.
They won 2-1. Gerrard scored two. But it wasn't all plain sailing in the group. So they won their first game 2-0 against Monaco. Bearing in mind, Monaco had just been in the final the season before. Then they lost to Olympiacos, drew 0-0 with Deportivo, and then they won 1-0 against Deportivo on the return leg, or return fixture, and then lost 1-0 to Monaco. So they were tied on points. Actually, Olympiacos were 3 points ahead of them at that stage, and they're going into the last game, and then Liverpool had to play them. Yeah, so they had to get qualified. They had to win by two clear goals.
You talk about luck, as you said, like finishing fourth. Was that the first season as well, the fourth team went into the Champions League?
I'm not sure. You'll have me on that one. I'm not sure.
I'm sure it was the first season that four Champions League places were up for grabs. Might be wrong, but either way, they scraped through getting into the Champions League by finishing fourth. They scraped through the group just about. And that's a weak group as well. Olympia. I mean, let me just say something. I think this is the worst team to ever lift a Champions League trophy. Now, I know you can argue, at the end of the day, it's they won it. So the best team won it in Europe. They're the best team in Europe. But the team itself, Benitez was a miracle worker on that because I don't know how.
We will get to the teams. When we actually get to the final, we'll get to the teams because agreed. And I'm going to rattle off the teams. And to say it's the miracle of Istanbul, when you read the teams, it was a bloody miracle.
100%.
Yeah. Moving on, yeah. So they get through the group stage. They get by Leverkusen. Absolutely smashed them. 6-2 over both legs. Not a problem. And you think Liverpool are coming to their own here now. You know, this is it. And then they get Juventus. Tough team, tough side for anyone. They, over two legs, they won it in the first leg, as it goes. They won it 2-1 in the first leg, and it was 0-0 in the second leg. But can you remember the semi-final against Chelsea?
Yes. Yeah,
the ghost goal as Mourinho called it. Yeah. Now, I watched this today. I knew about it at the time because I actually watched it at the time. But we didn't have your goal line technology. You didn't have your VAR. I can't see how they give it. I wondered if the Mourinho was going crazy because, yes, it was going in. They looked like it was going in. It was off the line. But there's no way that they could have told whether that was or it wasn't. Obviously, they gave benefit of the doubt to the goal scorer. But, Ghost goal was right. And that was actually the goal that got them through. Because it was 0-0 in the first leg. Do you remember the goal? Fourth minute, though. I mean, you know, it's the fourth minute of the game when he scores that. There's plenty of time for Chelsea to come back. So although they were aggrieved, they had plenty of time to come back and win that game.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible, the decision. But again, the technology wasn't there. People talk about goal line technology now and VAR. This is the kind of game that changes the whole outlook. Because I think Chelsea win that, they go on to win the Champions League that season under Jose and he doesn't lose his job. But I remember this because it was a classic battle at that time. And this period, 2004 to 2007-08, Chelsea, Liverpool were kind of the real hatred between Benitez and Jose. And I loved it because they were both, I know everyone talks about Pep Guardiola and Klopp and this pure football, blah, 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 blah. I've always said, and I stick by it, I do like watching that, but I also think we've lost the art of a team being good at defending as being part of football. Defending is just as much as part of football as an art as attacking. Now, I know people like to see the touch and the goal scorers. I get that. We all like to see that, of course. But I like defending. I like the art of defending. And these two teams, with both of them, Jose, his art of defending a lead was a second to none. You know, but you lost a goal to Chelsea, you could shut up shop 99.9% of the time. They're going to win that game 1-0. They need one chance. They got that 1-0 and luck was on their side. And sometimes in football, you need luck. And that's exactly what Liverpool had the whole of this tour. They just seem a bit like Madrid. They just have this luck in Europe. They just have this little bit of something that lady luck's on their side in big games. So, yeah, I remember that game. I remember watching it in the sports bar. I didn't know I wanted to win because it's like, oh, I don't really like either of these teams. But people say it's a boring, over two-leg boring game. I thought it was like watching chess. I thought it was fascinating.
Oh, it was. It was. And it had the controversy at the end. But that was enough to put Liverpool into the final, just very briefly. So their group was Barcelona, Shakhtar Donetsk and Celtic. And what you touched on earlier, you were correct. That's a tough group. Now, say what you want about Celtic. European Knights at Parkhead. They're a nightmare for any team. Their crowd is the 12th man, as we all know. You don't get an atmosphere like it. All the best players in the world have played there. You know, your Messi's and that have played there. They've said the same thing. They've never witnessed an atmosphere like it. That didn't help them because they finished bottom of the group. But Milan topped the group with 13 points. Barcelona, obviously, second. Shakhtar against first with 6 points. And then Celtic with 5 points. Milan go through. Who do they face in the first knockout round? Young Michael?
Yeah, Man United.
They lost the first leg 1-0. And they lost the second leg 1-0. So that was a 2-0 aggregate defeat. Do you remember their performance? Was it poor from United or was just Milan just too good?
I thought we were just poor. Because it was in 2005, wasn't it, that game? I think it's March 2005. And I thought we had the better chances, but Tim Howard blew it. It wasn't completely at fault for the Crespo goal, but I think he could have done better. Better goalkeeper could have done better. But I mean, we had Quinton Fortune in the team and at that time, and Sylvester and who else in that time? I know we had Van Nistelrooy was coming to the end of his United period at that point. I don't know. Champions League for United is funny, man, because there's so many times we've played teams and you're thinking we should have won that game. And we just, in Europe, we just got undone. But AC Milan, the team they had, realistically, again, man for man, it took some beating. This was a young team as well for us with, you know, Ronaldo coming in, Rooney. We had that little bit of inexperience and we showed that later on when we went on to win the Champions League a couple of years later. But yeah, I think it was you're probably right, a deserved win for AC Milan over two legs, a bit smarter. Again, talk about the art of defending. Champions League was about that at this stage.
They dispatched Man United are goners. And then you've got a Milan derby. Now, in the quarterfinals, that's a mouthwatering tie for any sort of neutral. I suppose it's a mouthwatering tie for the Milan fans. I would say that they'd be excited for that. Looking at it, like, it was a one-sided beatdown. 2-0 2-0 in the home leg, although they play at the same stadium, so home and away is the same thing. It's just that there's more crowd for either one, whoever's at home. And then 3-0 away. So 5-0 in aggregate in a quarter final. Absolutely smashed them. Not a bother. Then it gets to the semi-finals.
Yes.
Semi-finals against PSV Eindhoven. You know, Milan only went through on away goals. It was 3-3 in aggregate, and they scored in the 91st minute, Milan, to get that away goal.
Yeah.
Philip Koku scored in the 92nd minute, but I think the damage was obviously already done. So they, you know, you talk about, let's not talk about luck, because, you know, you play for 90 minutes, you know, I mean, we play to the final whistle. But that's a close one to going out. It could have been a whole sliding doors moment. It could have been a whole different thing. This night may never have happened if Ambrosini doesn't score that goal when he does. Mm. Yeah, any thoughts on that?
Well, my boy was in it before he joined United. Old Ji Sing Park was in that PSV Eindhoven team. PSV that over that period, good team. 3-3 was a surprise. I think everyone thought Milan would go through really quite easily, but they gave a run for their money, as you quite rightly said. Jan van Hoor of Hesselink up front leading the line, who went on to have not much success outside of this PSV team. But no, I think it was, again, over the two legs, I think they probably just deserved it slightly. They beat him at home, PSV, and it was convincing. They had an off day, Milan. You just think, well, they had an off day. Going back to San Siro, I think it was a fair enough result. I think, yeah, I think they'd done enough. Over them and Liverpool, you're looking at the form. You know, they've gone beat United, beat Inter by big goal lines and not conceded a goal, may I add. And they've gone to PSV and lost 3-1 off the back of it. So it was a bit strange. But, yeah, a harder path to get there. A little bit less luck. I know it's not 91st minute, but that's football. As you said, you play to the final whistle. So for me, I think Milan have done, again, and we're going to the team. I mean, as you said, Milan had finished in the top two in that season to get into the Champions League. And an interesting quote, I don't know if you've seen this, but Carlo Ancelotti said, because there was a debate going into the final about, well, at that time, Liverpool were. Liverpool went in the top four that season. I'm sure they were. I think it was six when this Champions
League. They finished fifth the season of that Champions League. Yeah, so they weren't going to be in it.
Yeah, that's it. And there was a big debate. And Carlo Ancelotti was asked about it in a press conference. And he said, look, you know, if a team go on to win it, they should be able to defend it. But maybe we could do them a favour and solve this for them. And I think that quote must have been in somewhere, because that's almost saying, don't worry, we've got this. Like, this debate doesn't need to happen, because the only people going back here next year is going to be us, because we're going to win it regardless. Yeah. And if we don't, we'll be in it. And so that was a little bit of mind games, but I think a little bit of an underhanded quote. That's quite easy to go stick that on your wall and say, he's already said he's won it. Like, we're going to have that. But yeah, let's get on to the final, the big night.
Yes, so let's do. That's a good build up there. So we are now to the final.
Hit by Smica. It's yes. In! It's in! Vladimir Smica! 2 goals in 2 minutes for Liverpool. Carragher into Baroš. He's laid it off. It's Gerrard. He was held. He's given the penalty. He's given the penalty. Step up, Xabi Alonso, with a chance to equalise. Yes, equalise for Liverpool. Oh, saved by Dina, Xabi Alonso! And mission impossible is accomplished! Liverpool were 3-0 down 5 minutes ago. And now, look at that scoreline.
It's the start of the game. You've got your Budweisers out. Well, actually 2004 would have been drinking more than Bud, yeah. But you've got your beers out. You might even be at the pub for this. And the teams come out, the lineup. Right, I'm gonna rattle off the teams first, yeah, and then I want your reaction to it. Now, it's obviously not the first time you're seeing this, but I'm gonna go through the teams as if it was being announced on the day of the game, and people's reactions to the lineups. It's amazing. So I'm going to do Liverpool's first.
Oh, geez. Awful.
So you've got Jerzy Dudek in goal, Steve Finnan, Jamie Carragher, Sammy Hippier, and is it Jimmy Traore? There was loads of Traores, but Jimmy Traore, I'm going to say it is. Xabi Alonso, Luis Garcia, who scored the ghost goal to get him there, Steven Gerrard, John Arnorisa, and Harry Kewell gets in. Now, remember, there was a bit of a controversy because I don't think he played much this season. He was injured, wasn't he? And Rafa Benitez put him in the final. So they put him in the hole, number 7, and you've got Milan Baroš up front.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that, you know, that for me is like a team you'd put out in the Carabao Cup, or what we'd call it, the Carling Cup, probably back then, or the Worthington Cup, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Right, so that's Liverpool's team. Underwhelmed is an understatement for that team.
Agreed.
So now I'm going to rattle off the Milan team. Now, this is the best team I've ever seen on paper that isn't a fantasy team.
Or Barcelona team? Would you put the Barcelona team up there with that?
Yeah, but Barcelona teams, yes, but there's still some people there. Every player that I see in this team here...
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it honestly, it's like someone's got 100 million in their fantasy football and said, right, pick a team, the one you can pick, and you've got 100 million or whatever. You know, like it's a fantasy team that you see on Twitter all the time.
I agree.
Anyway, so let me start. So it's D-Day in goal, the Brazilian. You've got Cafu, Yap Stam, Alexandro Nesta, and my most favourite defender of all time, and I wax lyrical about this, Paolo Maldini. You've got Pirlo in front of him, Seedorf, who scored an absolute worldie yesterday, and he's 48. Gattuso, a Rangers legend, Kaká, Crespo, and Shevchenko. Now, that is the best team you could ever see in your life, like, and that is actually real. So, yeah, give me your reaction. Obviously, you know, you'll probably react the same way as me, but give me your reaction to these teams.
Oh, man. How many World Cup winners, Champions League winners, just the names alone, like the careers they had individually. When I saw the team, I mean, we've spoken about it before, but every time I see it again, it's like I'm relearning and re-seeing it again for the first time, because you forget, like, is that actually the team? And is that actually a Liverpool team? That's a Liverpool team, really. And they lost to them, mate. And not just they lost. If they lost 1-0, right, you'll be like, that's football. If they lost 2-1, you might go, well, you know, that's football. To lose from a winning position of 3-0 is, with Carlo Ancelotti as the manager, is unbelievable. Like, unbelievable. That team should never lose 3-0 to... they should lose 3-0 to anyone, let alone be 3-0 up and come back. You know, there's been some great comebacks in the past. Liverpool 4-3, Liverpool Newcastle. Newcastle Arsenal, was it 5-4, I think, went on to be when you were 3-0 up, whatever.
4-0 up, Arsenal were to Newcastle. 4-0
up, right. But that Arsenal team compared to that team, not a patch. You know, the Spurs, but Man United being 3-0 down the Spurs at halftime. It's Spurs. That's enough to be said. This is Liverpool in the Champions League. And this is like, yeah. Oh, man, I just can't.
This Milan team, I'm putting up against any team ever, by the way. You know, like, you can make a team of players.
Yeah.
You know, like, all different ones. You could put that team in there, and that you've got an argument for this team to win against any team that's ever been assembled.
Mate, can we just say also, Inzaghi couldn't even make the bench.
No.
He was
a goal machine as well.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the squad. That's how stacked. That's unbelievable, mate. Unbelievable. Right, the game starts.
Right, so, hang on, but just before we start the game, is there anyone in that Liverpool team you could swap out and put into that Milan team? Anyone? I mean, I'm looking at Gerrard and Alonso. The only ones that possibly could get on the bench. But if I was going to take anyone out of that, I would probably look at Gattuso, and maybe I could see an argument for swapping him with Gerrard.
All right.
But I can't. If you're looking at the lineups, Alonso's playing the same role as Pirlo. And that, you know, as much as Alonso was an unbelievable player, I can't put him in ahead of Pirlo.
I think I would say, I'm a big Gattuso fan. I love Gattuso. I really wish United signed him. I loved him. I loved his energy. I loved the dog spirit of him. Like, him and Keno had some, oh, man.
Sorry, fans didn't like him too much, I can tell you that.
Yeah, of course.
Because he was like a bulldog, wasn't he? So, yeah. You know, especially for the Old Firm games, he was right up for it and he'd cause murders.
I know.
I read something about him the other day where he's saying it was his father that made him sign for Rangers. He didn't want to go.
Oh, really?
And his father made him go, yeah. And then he said, obviously, when he did, he was glad he did.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's for another day.
But Gerard, if I would have that, I would say, right, you're going to take one player out and replace him. With the career Gerard went on to have, and Gattuso, you might edge Gerard in there potentially.
But you can't put him in there ahead of anyone else.
Yeah, I wouldn't put any other player on. If Inzaghi getting in their squad, Xabi Alonso ain't getting in that squad. I wouldn't have.
What about Milan Baros? Any luck he's getting in?
Dude, mate, if he turned up to the training ground at AC Milan and said, oh, come and play, Shevchenko would have just said, oh, is he coming in to lace my boots? Because that's all he was good for. Like, and Jimmy Traore, I can't dance, control my feet. He's just, honestly, no. Sammy Hapia, I liked him as a defender. I preferred Stefan Hoyer personally.
There's some good players there. They're just not getting. They're not getting ahead of any of them players. That back four is unbelievable. Cafu,
yeah.
Stam, who's obviously one of your ex players.
Yeah.
Nesta and Maldini.
Yeah.
That's one of the greatest back fours of all time.
Which makes this result even more. The miracle of Istanbul is correct, because it should never happen. Like, it shouldn't happen. I don't even think that would even happen on a Championship Manager game. I don't think the algorithm would allow that to happen. An algorithm and Championship Manager in that period would never allow the AC Milan team to have been 3-0 up and come back. I reckon you could have played it on loop for 100 years and that result ain't coming up ever. That's how stupid this... That Leicester... I mean, at that time, I don't think Sky Bet and that were around, right? So that online gambling wasn't around. No. Those odds at 3-0 up, right? Would have been as much as Leicester to win the Premier League, surely. Like,
but there would have been some person to put a pound on it. You can guarantee it. And he'd have been in the paper next day with a big bottle of champagne like that, going, can't believe it. Like, there's always one, isn't there?
Always one. Go on in, mate. Right, so the game kicks off.
The game kicks off.
Bosh.
First minute, disaster for Liverpool. That man, Maldini, have you seen the goal?
Yeah, it's class.
If you didn't see the goal, What would you have thought he would have scored it?
Say again.
You would have thought he would have scored it from like a set piece or a corner or a header, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You just presume defenders are scoring headers.
Yeah.
No, not Maldini.
No.
Not Maldini. He turns in the box, doesn't he? And rifles it top corner, first minute. Disaster for Liverpool. Like, against that team, you're thinking the worst, aren't you? You're thinking, oh my God, I'm up against this team. I'm 1-0 down after the first minute.
Yeah.
It's disaster. But to be fair to Liverpool, They held firm. They didn't panic, did they? You know, they let the game go, but Milan are playing some good stuff. 39th minute, Crespo.
Bosh.
It's 2-0. It's not looking good. And then within 5 minutes, it's 3-0.
Yeah.
I remember watching this game at home and my dad turned it off in the living room.
But stop. I'm going to stop you there because my next comment was going to be, now I turned it off when I went upstairs to play PlayStation.
Oh, I can see why, because it wasn't competitive anymore. You thought, oh, fucking hell, we waited all this time for the Champions League final, which is 3-0 at half-time.
Yeah.
He turned over to something else, and I went in the bedroom, and I was arsing around. I flicked it back on in my bedroom, and then it was 3-2. Well, we'll get to that in a minute, but it was 3-2, and I went back in, and then he put it back on.
Yeah. Mate, I would love to have seen the rating, the viewing figures, for like the UK audience at the 45th minute. It would have just plummeted, and then it would have bounced back up. But let's just, on the first half, let's just stick with that as you're right. Now, Harry Kewell made a surprise start, which no one saw coming. Yeah, I don't think he played the last four games for Liverpool, right?
Do you think that Benitez were trying to be too clever by putting him in? Because no one would have thought that he would have been playing. So they haven't planned for him.
100%. I think it would have been a shock factor and be like, oh, that we wouldn't have planned for that, right? Harry Kewell in. But let's talk about his replacement, right? Let's talk about who came on. They're 23 minutes gone. Harry Kewell's injured. They're 1-0 down. He looks over at his bench. He looks at what he's got. He thinks, I know, Igor Smisha. He can come on and change that game.
It was Vladimir, wasn't it?
He seems like an Igor to me, but was it Vladimir? I don't know what the fuck his name is.
Bit Smisha. Of casual racism there, no problem.
Smisha comes on, right? I mean, it's bad enough, right? It's bad enough that... you've got Torre has a Champions League medal and Milan Baros has a Champions League medal. Mm-hmm. But Smicha...
I can top trump that. Cinnamon Pongoli's got one.
But there you go.
He scored in one of the group games or whatever else he was.
But there you go.
He's got one. Never to be seen again. Actually, he made one appearance for Blackburn after that season. He went to Blackburn, made one appearance, never to be seen again. He's got a Champions League medal somewhere on his mantelpiece.
Unbelievable. A mantelpiece, I reckon he's got it, like, he must have a book about it, like, it was guarded in, like, the Queen's Museum, just, like, alarms and all shit. That's his most prized possession. But mate, at that point, you're absolutely right. I remember turning over. I was downstairs. I was living in Camden at the time, and I was watching the game. Turn it off, and I went upstairs. And then all of a sudden, because my phone was buzzing. My dad was ringing me or texting me. I think he was, and he's like, "Are you watching?" I was like, "No, I've turned off a load of shit." And he's like, "Oh, okay, fair enough." He said, "I'm going to carry on watching it." Then he sent me a text saying 3-1. I was like, "I'm not interested." Next thing you know, I'm getting phone calls. "Are you what? Can you believe this?" Like, what, you ran downstairs, and obviously it's 3-3 at this point. And I'm like, "Oh my God, they just scored the third goal." So I caught the third goal. And obviously then I was watching the rest of the game from there on out. But it was all Milan. Liverpool had a half chance after the after the Maldini goal. I'm sure they had a half chance about halfway into the half to make it 1-1. And Dina made a fantastic save, which then led on to, you know, Crespo's double. And then you're right, if it's over. I don't think Liverpool turned up, like, just not at all. Like, Liverpool didn't really...
I think they were shell-shocked. I think they were shell-shocked. And, and you would be. You're looking at that team in front of you. Yeah. They're absolutely... You're 3-0 down at half-time.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about that team and the players. It shows some character to come back from that. But not only that, AC Milan have got to go into that dressing room thinking it's over.
Oh, 100%.
So do you think that, say they score in the first minute and it stays 1-0? They could lose. I don't, but, and it's all if, buts, and maybes. But I think that it was the worst thing that could happen to them being 3-0 up at halftime.
Do you know what? 3-0 up is a dangerous scoreline. I know it sounds silly to say, but anyone who listens knows that. 3-0, because the minute you get one back, you're like, take it in your stride. The minute two come back, all of you are then doubting yourselves, thinking, "Hold on a second, whoa, 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 whoa. What's happening here? We're losing." And then mentally, psychologically wise, so you're then thinking, Liverpool are thinking, "We're in this." And Milan are then thinking, "What the fuck's happening?" Yeah. I mean, if I'm Carlo Ancelotti, I went back at half time, sat down, lit a massive stogie, poured himself a nice glass of whiskey, sat back, had a smoke with a drink, and went, "Lads, it's Liverpool." And then they've gone out there the second half, and it's like a new... And this Liverpool team should not have been able... They just shouldn't have been able to do this, because there was no one in there. I'm not Gerrard's Gerrard, and I get it. That was... I use Keane a lot with Juventus. That, and I've seen Gerrard do it with the West Ham in the FA Cup. This was a Gerrard game that was like, we're in the final. I'm not walking past that trophy and not being able to lift it. And I thought I don't think he had an outstanding game almost. It wasn't even like... I think he was like... head and shoulders above everyone else, but he must have given one fucking team talk at halftime, man. Yeah. Because the second half, it was a different gravy.
But like I say, players like King, players like, they're like a generational sort of player. He doesn't have to be great for 90 minutes. He can just at moments just turn it on, and it changes the game. It changes the atmosphere. It gives everyone else a lift. And Gerrard was, say what you want about Gerrard. I think Gerrard was world class. He's one of my I think he had it all. He could tackle, he could shoot, he could pass. I would have loved to have had him in any of the teams that I very much like Keane. You know, there's certain players that you would just, they're the first names on the team sheet. And obviously he was for Liverpool. He was Mr. Liverpool. And in that game, the second half starts, like you say, he must have given him a rollick, and you can imagine he did. But then I watched Gary Neville's soccer box with him recently. He was on it. And he reckons he was very, very quiet at first. You are when you come into the team. But he said he wasn't like massively vocal, but I thought he gives everyone around him a lift, and he does it by showing how to do it on the pitch, you know, like, and in that game, world class.
Yeah.
Now, we the second half starts within 8 minutes. It's 3-1. Gerrard with a header, lovely header. Have you seen the header?
Yeah,
amazing header. About how he's managed to get that into the far corner there. How he's managed to loop that. It was brilliant. 2 minutes later, your man Igor Smisa, Vladimir, which is what he is, he's hit one from outside the box. I think the keeper should save that. I mean, when I saw it, yes, it goes in.
Could have done.
I think the keeper needs to do better there. We're talking about that team being world class. Obviously, keepers can. You know, that's what they're there for. They make mistakes. I mean, he might not be able to see it. It goes through a lot of bodies, but I think the keeper would be kicking himself after that. It's a save he should make, and 9 times out of 10 he probably would.
Yeah.
So you remember, and then You happy for me to go on, or you want to add anything to it?
Well, I just say, from a tactical point of view, in the second half, Benitez changed it. Finnan was off in the second half, within a minute of the second half. So within a minute of the second half, he's pulled him, and he brought one who I think was a world-class player, is Dida Haman. And he changed the position to have an extra midfielder in to counter Kaká in the middle and to take on Pirlo. So for me, that tactical change made a big difference. And you can see the impact he had in that game. And he allowed Gerrard the space to be able to be that free roaming midfielder a bit more when he came on. Alonso sat deep. Haman came into the team. And I think that definitely changed it. I think it went to a 3-5-2 or 3-4-3-5-1-1, I think it would have been, it went into. So, yeah. And obviously, as you said, next, your man who you said earlier, maybe gets in this Milan team, would have been Alonso.
Like, Alonso steps up, takes the penalty. Penalty, Alonso misses it, but he scores the rebound. Great penalty, like I say, for him to carry on, because, you know, and it's 3-3. But there's still half an hour to go. There's still half an hour to go in the game.
And you're thinking now, Milan are going to score. Because you just think, well, that mate, I can't even speak. It's just, I'm thinking about it now, madness.
But Milan nearly did. Shevchenko must still be having nightmares about Dudek.
Yes.
To this day.
Yeah.
Because Shevchenko, how Dudek saves that shot, I'll never know.
Yes.
He is, Shevchenko's through. Every other day he buries it.
Yeah.
And Dudek gets saved and it goes over the bar. It's an unbelievable save. And then, you know, when them sort of moments start to happen, the Milan fans, the Milan players must think, this is not our night. We're doomed here because now things are not going their way. First half, they couldn't, you know, they're running riot. And then things like that, you know, I mean, the heads must have been going down. Do you remember that?
But at the same time, heads are going down, but you're thinking, look who you are. Yeah. Like, there should have been enough in that team. I mean, football is a lot about momentum, and it's about that moving of momentum, and kind of when you get that momentum on your side, it is hard to then change it. And you're right, if Shevchenko scores that goal, I think the air would have been sucked out of Liverpool completely. I don't think they would have gone on. But in terms of comebacks, everyone said about United as comebacks, Liverpool were up there. The way they won so many games are coming back. I don't think, you know, in dramatic fashion, we're two of the best teams, not just in England, in the world, at comebacks. And this was, I think that now you're thinking it's going to, I think now, what are Milan going to do? Because do you then risk it going, well, we've been 3-0 up, do we go for it? Or do we sort of consolidate and go, we'll outlast in the game in penalties? Because you're thinking, this is Milan, this is an English team, they don't win penalty shootouts. So from that perspective, you're then thinking, as I said, what were they going to do next, was the question.
So 90 minutes are up, extra time is done. We go to penalties. Now, we get to penalties. Who's the happier side, Paul, when you're at that point? So Milan have had an unbelievable first half. Liverpool have had an unbelievable second half. I didn't delve too much into the extra time, but we know what happened there. It goes to penalties. The penalties, they're all over. They're about to pick who's taking what there. Who are the happier set of players at that point?
Let's just bring the subs into the game again from Ancelotti, right? So the last 10 minutes of the game, he's changed who I would have said two scorers of penalties, right? Clarence Seedorf comes off, Herman Crespo comes off for Serginho and John Dahl Thompson from Newcastle. Yeah. 112th minute, Gattuso comes off for Rui Costa, who...
That's not a bad sub, but you don't know what age Rui Costa is at that point.
Anyway, Rui Costa, but you're thinking, I don't know if there's an injury, I can't remember if it's an injury or whatever it would be, but you're thinking, right, you don't take Herman Crespo or Seedorf off, they take one of the penalties.
Yeah.
It's not a different game because there was a lot missed. But, yeah, I think Liverpool would have gone into it. But to be honest, mate, at that stage, you're thinking, we've won this. If I'm a Liverpool player at this stage, I'm not fearing them because I'm thinking, well, their heads are gone. Like, their heads are gone. The crowd is all behind Liverpool at this stage. For me, it's...
Do you think that that's what the manager, Rafa Benitez, your captain, Steven Gerrard's saying? Do you think that he's... These are the sort of things that are being said leading up to this penalty shootout. They've crumbled. We've got them now. Like, you know, sort of things to G up your team. Do you think the things that you just said there are being relayed to the players on the pitch?
100%. I think they're saying, keep your heads. this is ours. You know, this is ours. Don't blow it now. But the trophy is ours. And I think with Milan, with experience and everyone else, they probably were saying the words. They didn't mean it. You're looking over all of a sudden. I'm not saying you're looking at Liverpool, but all of a sudden, Gattuso's off, your leader. Seedorf's off, a penalty taker, scores penalties all day long. Crespo's off, scores penalties all day long. And you're thinking, I don't know. I think mentality, you might be saying we've got this, but at the back of your mind, there was doubt. And I'm gonna just jump ahead. The minute, who took the first penalty? Was it Liverpool?
So Milan took the first penalty. Before we go to the penalties there, you know, we're talking about the team being amazing. That starting 11 was amazing. I don't feel that, you know, the bench doesn't fill you with much joy. Rui Costa was a good player. I don't know how good he was at that stage, because we were talking about Rui Costa in the 90s, weren't we? This is 2005. Now, I'm sure he still had a bit about him, but, you know, he could have been an aging player. But the bench doesn't fill you with much joy, does it? With the subs they brought on. I can't even remember Serginho, if I've got to be honest with you. I don't really remember him.
No, I don't remember much. I mean, you say about the bench, but then you're looking at Liverpool's bench and Djibril Cisse, Vladimir Smica, Igor Biscan, Nunez, Josimi, Scott Carson, obviously goalkeeper. So I don't think that's... If you're going to bring players on, bear in mind, you know, he's brought on Djibril Cisse and Smica. I wouldn't worry about that. But the minute, onto the penalties, the minute Serginho steps up, he didn't look... Yeah. He didn't look...
No. Most confident.
And I think the minute he missed that, I think Liverpool think we've done it. Because the
difference in the penalty takers, I mean, I'm not the manager, so I would have put one of your main players to take the first one. Now, Serginho, I don't know, he may be a great penalty taker. And that's why he went first. But I feel like you've got to get that first one out of the way. That's the one that settles the nerves. If you miss that first one, you know, your back's against the wall. Especially when you've got Dieter Hamann taking Liverpool's first one. He's German. They are notorious for penalties, aren't they? I mean, how many times they broke England's hearts? They don't miss penalties. They must drill them into them as kids. Dieter Hamann's up there 1-0 up. Next up is Pirlo. Do you want to do the penalties, or do you want me to carry on?
Yeah, you carry on. Go on.
Well, so Pirlo comes up. His is saved.
Good save, by the way.
Dirty dude.
Good save.
Yeah, good save. So it's 1-0 to Liverpool, and then it's Djibril Cisse to step up. He scores. I mean, talking to Djibril Cisse, I don't know what it was like at that sort of stage, but I would have, you know, off memory, I'm sure he was a better striker than Barros. Would you not just go straight off the bat?
He had
pace, didn't he? I mean, you don't know. There could have been injuries at the time or whatever else. Or I know Barros scored a few goals, but off memory, I would have always put Djibril Cisse ahead of Barros if I'm picking a team. Anyway, that's for another day.
100%.
But so Djibril Cisse scores. It's 2-0 to Liverpool. AC Milan cannot believe their luck. They cannot believe what's happening. John Dow Thomason, who was very prominent in the year that we talk about in the 90s, when he Blackburn Rovers, we was at, wasn't he? Was it Bolton?
John Dow Thomason? He was at Newcastle.
Yeah. But I think he was at other clubs as well.
He might have gone on from when he left Milan, because he signed from Milan for Feyenoord. He only played in the Premier League with Newcastle, and I think he went to He only played in the Premier League with Newcastle.
Oh, did he? Yeah, I'm getting mixed up with someone else. But yeah, John Dow Thomason. So it's 2-1. You know, a miss from Liverpool here, and they're back in it. And John Arisa turns up. His is saved. Now I'm surprised at him, because he you know, dead ball situations and that, he was good, wasn't he? He had a wand of a left foot.
Yeah.
So he misses it. Liverpool now, squeaky bum time. Kaká tips up. Bang, goal. 2-2. Now, this is anyone's penalty shootout from then on. Vladimir Smica, your man. I'll tell you what, he's come on and had some game. His Champions League medal, he's well-deserved, isn't he? You're underwhelmed when he comes on. But, you know, if you're talking about people stepping up, he's had a massive, massive game. Anyway, he goes on, he scores his penalty, it's 3-2. Then it's the legend, Andrei Shevchenko.
Chelsea, now, there he is, the Chelsea.
Yeah. At Chelsea, you'd have been fully thinking he would miss. But at Milan, he was unreal. Agreed. And, you know, whatever money, if you're a betting man, you're putting your house on it, you're putting your car, you're putting your dog, You're putting everything on this man to score. Jersey Dudek's doing that famous thing on the line, isn't he?
The Bruce Gobbler.
Yeah, that's it. He's doing that old Bruce Gobbler thing. Bang. Shevchenko takes it. Saved by Dudek. Liverpool are champions of Europe against all odds.
Unbelievable.
Honestly, I'm not a Liverpool fan, but you can't help but, you know, be pumped at that, even as a neutral. That is an amazing game. It is the miracle of Istanbul. And it is. And even what are we now? We're, 22, 23 years on. Mm. And we can see how excited, how passionate it is about it. It ain't even our team.
I know.
I mean, imagine what it'd be like to be a Liverpool fan. The emotion you'd been before at halftime to come back and win like that is stuff dreams are made of. And that, honestly, that was an amazing, amazing night. And I'm glad that we've picked this as a subject because it has to be mentioned. It was unbelievable.
It was. I don't like speaking about it, as I said, but yes, it was. I mean, I think even to sum it up, Rafa Benitez after the game was quoted and he was asked, like, how do you comment? And he said, my problem is that I don't have words to express the things that I feel at the moment. And I think that in itself was beautifully put and perfectly put, because there are no words in that moment to describe that comeback, you know. No. It's unbelievable. The only good thing was is they rematched in 2007 and Milan got there. They finally did it. They overcome Liverpool to lift the trophy, because I couldn't imagine winning again. And that must have been interesting, because you're thinking, there's no way, as Milan began, there's no way this happens again. Like, don't score three. Let's just get one. Let's get one goal, hold it. And then if we get a second, push on from there. But no, mate, it was a great. It's what football's about. This is what football is about, and you can watch it and go, in football, Ferguson said it, bloody hell, it's football. You know what I mean? It's what happens. This is what makes it such an amazing sport. You don't get this kind of drama in any other sporting event, anything. I don't think what you have, you don't have this drama. You just can't. The emotions that you would have gone through, the up and down, as I said, fantastic.
That's a good space to end it there. I mean, you've just said really nice words, and it was amazing. So now we're going to move on to the quiz. Woo. And this week I'm doing it for you, and it's the Who Am I quiz.
Okay.
So are you ready? And stay off of Google, because we know you've got form for it. All right. So. So I've got five clues per player, yeah? So I've got three players. So the first clue, yeah, for player number one. I played for both Liverpool and AC Milan.
Okay.
In 1993, I was placed in foster care.
No.
I had two spells with AC Milan in 2013 and 2015 on loan.
Oh, fucking hell. Go on, no. Go on, next one. I need a fourth one.
I am currently playing in the Swiss League.
So he's still playing now? Okay. Yeah.
You're like the last clue.
Okay. It's not... What was his name? It's not like... Aquilini, isn't it? Alberto Aquilini. He played for... No. Go on.
Yeah, I know. So I was named after an iconic Nintendo game.
Nintendo game? Oh. Suso?
No.
No, I don't know. Who?
Mario Balotelli.
Oh, Mario, of course. Fuck. Did he play twice?
I thought, yeah.
I didn't know, that. Ah, oh, that's a good one. That the Nintendo bit's nice. I should have got it from that.
I left that one for the end. I want him to, especially we're 90s and not whatever else. So you do another 90s podcast, etc. That's a nice little clue, that one.
Man, I've completely forgot he played for Liverpool.
Right, so that's nil pois for you.
Oh, go on, him.
Right, so the second one. Again, the first clue. I played for both Liverpool and AC Milan. you can see the theme here, obviously.
Okay, go on.
I've played at every level for my country, from under 15s to the full squad.
Oh, Pepe Reina.
No. I won 2 European Championships and 1 World Cup.
Fernando Torres.
Yes.
Yes.
Well done. So, yeah, fourth clue was there. I joined Chelsea for a British transfer fee in 2011. And the fifth clue was my nickname is El Nino.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Lovely. Good one, that.
Right. So the final one is clue number one. I played for both Liverpool and AC Milan.
Fucking hell. How many players? They must have the record playing partnerships, aren't they? Jesus. Well,
there was only 8 players that have ever done this, by the way.
Okay,
so,
go on,
I've picked 3 of them. All right. So I started my career at Barcelona C and made 30 appearances for the first team.
No, go on.
My father also played for Barcelona and we played in the same position.
Pepe Reina.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now you completely nearly stuffed my whole quiz up by guessing Pepe Reina on the second one. But I thought, anyway. So he said, I saved 3 out of 4 penalties against West Ham in the FA Cup final was the fourth clue.
Lovely.
And the fifth clue was, I was mostly second choice to Iker Casillas for Spain.
I like that one. The Mario one's done me, man. Fuck. I can't complete.
So you had 2 out of 3 ain't bad, as Meatloaf would say.
Oh, man. That's it. See us out, Dave.
So that's it, guys, for this week's podcast. I'm now running the socials, so it's Phoenix5 Podcast on Twitter. And we are on all the platforms, including Apple and Spotify. Mickey, you know the email address, so just fire out the email address there.
Phoenix5show@gmail.com.
So if you any subjects that you want us to talk about, or you want to like and subscribe and rate us, or anything you want to email us on or tweet us on, please do. And we're going to be doing this every week now. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and we will see you next week.
Yeah, guys, have a nice evening. Enjoy your week. Take care.
And don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver sound of a lark. Walk on.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.